Start me up there, my friend. Hit the wrong thing. What's wrong with this thing? Forget it. All right, forget the timer. God, where I'm on God's time, that's all that counts. Hallelujah. The title of today's message is Read and Heed God's Word. Read and heed God's Word. Do you tremble? Do you tremble at the Word of God? Do you believe the Word? You better, because He is the Word. Do you believe the truth? You better, because He is the truth. Amen. Hallelujah. He's the Word of truth. Psalm 119:89. You don't have to go there. But Psalm 119:89 says, Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands forever in the heavens. So He is the eternal Word, and we only have eternity through Him. Amen. Amen. Turn to Proverbs 16, please. Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16 and verse 20. Okay, so how do you prosper? Let's read Proverbs 16 and verse 20. Whoever gives heed to instruction prospers. And blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. We have to trust Him and believe His word, whether we feel like it or not. Let God be true and every man a liar. We all too often go by our feelings and not by faith. We go by what we think rather than what God says, what is written. Amen. We prosper by heeding instruction. The Bible, this Bible right here that I'm holding in my hand, is your instruction manual. You've all heard the acronym. Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Acronym for each letter of the Bible, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. And I believe we will leave this earth with the Undertaker, and Lord willing, before the Undertaker comes. Being older than y'all, I am probably closer than any of you. Hallelujah. But I know God's going to keep me and take me with Himself. I stay in Him. Amen. There are 66 books of the Bible. Some churches have decided to only use the last 27 books. It's called the New Testament, and have nearly totally neglected the first 39 books. Can't imagine. Called the Old Testament. They do not realize that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Folks, y'all know we need it all. Amen. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, we need it. Amen. Turn to 2 Timothy 3:16, please. 2 Timothy 3:16. Hallelujah. Let's start with 15. Do your best to present yourselves to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Verse 16, avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. I'm reading 2:16. I'm sorry. 2 Timothy 3. That was a good scripture, though. 2 Timothy 3:16. I was talking about God's word. All scripture is God-breathed. Now, here we go. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Verse 15 of chapter 2 talks about rightly handling the word of truth. That's also somewhere in this message, and the Lord had me give it early, I guess. Hallelujah. Without it all, you will not be fully instructed, nor will you be fully equipped to do good works. Isn't that what it said? That you may be fully equipped. We need to be fully equipped. Today, the enemy is out to destroy God's word, God's people, everything good. Amen? To steal, kill, and destroy. And so we need all of God's word. We need all of it. We need to be fully equipped. You must trust that it is God-breathed. That is from God by His Spirit. And that it is alive. You know, the Word is alive. Amen? Turn to Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So the Word judges us. The Lord can judge. Amen? And the Word, it shows right there, the Spirit is alive. God's Word is alive. Turn to John 1. John chapter 1. You better know this one by heart. I'm sure you do. Most of you do. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So right there we see. In the beginning was the Word. Amen? God is the Word. Yeshua is the living Word, and He and His Father are God. Together make up, they are echad. Amen? They are one. Devar is the primary Hebrew expression for word. In Greek, it is rhema or logos, can be interchangeably used for word. You know, when we say, I'm going to give you a word, it can be an utterance or saying that may refer to a single expression. Let me give you a word, a word. It's also the entire law. When someone say, the Word can be the entire law, because He is the Word, amen? It can be the gospel message. Let me give you the Word. That's the gospel, good news, amen? It also, as I said before, is Christ Himself, Yeshua HaMashiach, the living. He is HaTorah, the Word. The Word demands decision from those who hear it. Turn to James, please, book of James. James 1. Hallelujah. God expects us to act on His Word. James 1, and we're going to read we're going to read 19 through 25. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the Word planted in you, which can save you. Verse 22. Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. So right there it shows you God demands decision from us who hear His living Word. Amen? Those who belong to God are the ones who hear His Word. Turn to John 8. Go to John 8. Excuse me? I didn't? Oh, okay. I'll go through 25. James 19 through 25. James 1, 19 through 25. I didn't go all the way through, sorry. Anyone, verse 23, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. So again, that even better demonstrates, you know, more than just verse 22, the whole thing there, that whole, all the way through, shows you that we're blessed when we do what God says. Amen. Now let's go, I'm sorry. Those who belong to God are the ones who hear His word. Go to John 8. John 8. And we're going to read verse 47. John 8, 47. He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. That's red letter words. Jesus was talking about, he was talking to the children of the devil, actually the Pharisees. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's turn to John 10. We need the Spirit applied. John 10, we're going to read verse 4. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him, because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him, because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. We need to be keyed in. We need to be tuned in like a radio to the frequency of Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Of the Lord. And we need the Spirit applied to that voice, to that word. Amen. 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2. And we're going to read 12 through 14. 1 Corinthians 2, 12 through 14. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truth in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. There are people that are blinded to the truth, even though they hear the truth, even though they read the truth, until they surrender to God and His Spirit and His will, they will not really hear, and thus they will not listen. They will not heed God's word. We are to read and heed God's word. Yeshua had much opposition from those who claimed to know and live the words of God but never kept them, but yet required others to, and even added their own extra requirements. They did not have the Spirit to reveal it to them. Amen? It's talking about the Sadducees and the Pharisees. The Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection, therefore they are sad, you see. The Sadducees. And then there's the Pharisees. Let's turn to Matthew 23. Matthew 23. And we're going to read verses 1 through 4. Hallelujah. These are the woes. This whole chapter has the woes for not handling the Word of God correctly and not knowing who God is. Matthew 23, 1 through 4. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So you must obey them and do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. That's that, you hear all the world, the people in the world saying, well, you don't practice what you preach. They get that from this, Matthew 23. But God, what does God say though? You must obey them. So God wants us to keep the law. But he don't want us to act like they did. They didn't act on what they believed in. Amen? Amen. They did not practice what they preached. Now I can tell you that if I'm going to be up here and I'm going to tell you to keep the Sabbath, the holy days, tithe, and fear God and all that, then I have to live it. Amen? Or I can't tell it. You can't talk the talk if you don't walk the walk. The walk comes first and then the talk. Amen? I need to always read and heed God's word and to be careful how I listen. Amen. Amen. Turn to John 5, please. John 5. Amen. John 5. We're going to read 37 through 47. We're still into about Pharisees and things. John 5, 37 through 47. And the Father who sent me has himself testify concerning me. You have never heard his voice, nor seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one he sent. You diligently study the scriptures because you think by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me and have life. So you see, they did not have a personal walk. Let's go on. Verse 41. I do not accept praise from men, but I know that but I know you. I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. But if anyone else comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe if you accept praise from one another, yet make no effort to obtain the praise that comes from the only God? But do you think I will accuse you before the Father? Your accuser is Moses, on whom your hopes are set. If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But since you do not believe what he wrote, how are you going to believe what I say? We have to believe what's written by the hand of God. We have to believe that the Word is God-breathed, inspired by the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth. Amen? And then you will shake at the Word. Then you will tremble at God's Word. Amen. Turn to Isaiah 28:23. Isaiah 28:23. Hallelujah. Isaiah 28:23. Praise the Lord. Listen and hear my voice. Pay attention and hear what I say. That's, you know. So he says, listen and hear and pay attention. A lot of times, you know, people hear the word and they claim to want to hear it, but they don't really pay attention because they're not letting it get into their heart. Amen. Over and over. Wait a minute. The Spirit brings power to the word. Acts 1. Let's go to Acts. Where the church was birthed. Amen. Acts. Acts 1, and we're going to read 8. This is about the power of the word. Of the Spirit. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So God's talking about receiving power and then becoming a witness. Well, you witness by your words and your actions. And if you don't, and that power is what enables you to hear, enables you to in Him we live and move and have our being. He is the one that empowers us by His Spirit, hallelujah, to bring His living word, hallelujah. Like I said, over and over, we are told in God's word to be careful how we listen. The more you tremble at or fear, which is actually just in reverence of God, of God's word, the better you hear because you know it's from God. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 2. 1 Thessalonians 2. We're going to read verse 13. And we also thank God continually. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is the word of God, which is at work. It's a living word. Amen. And it's at work in you who believe. That's verse 2:13. Of 1 Thessalonians. Hallelujah. When you hear the word, know, when you know it comes from God, you receive it and you'll believe it. Hallelujah. It says that it's at work. Hear, O Israel. We hear that all the time, don't we? Hear, O Israel, the Shema. Hear, O Israel. We need to hear. The word must go in our ears, be recorded in our minds, and put into our hearts. And is then spoken out, and we then live by that word. There's a process. To hear, to record, to store up, or to keep, which is, and then to speak and to live out. There's a five-phase process of hearing God's word. You hear it, record it in your mind, store it in your heart if it's true. You speak it out, because out of the heart the man speaks, and then you will live it out. You'll never hear anybody talking about, they always speak it before they talk it out, before they actually do it. People always speak before they actually do what they're going to do. They either speak it to themselves. They may not verbally have everyone hear it, but they have it in their heart, and they will make it known by speaking it before they actually act it out. Amen. We live by every word of God. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's Romans 10:1-18. We won't. Deuteronomy 8, let's go there. Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8 and verses 1 through 3. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised and on oath to your forefathers. Hallelujah. I need a drink of water. We're going to read through verse 3, though. You've got water there. I know. Thank the Lord for H2O. I thank Him more for His living water. Amen. Verse 2, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart. God tests us to see if we're listening. He tests our heart. In phase 3 of storing it up or keeping it in our heart, He tests us to see what our heart does, but He knows our heart. to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna. Manna is the word. Feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's how we live, is through God, through his word. Now go to Deuteronomy 31, please. Deuteronomy 31. Praise the Lord. I love his word. David loved God's word. You want to hear, or you want to learn about the word, read Psalm 119 all the way and really concentrate on what it says. Amen. Deuteronomy 31, we're going to read 9 through 13. So Moses wrote down this law and gave it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel. Then Moses commanded them, at the end of every 7 years, in the year for canceling debts, during the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God at the place he will choose, you shall read this law before them in their hearing. That's our job, amen, as priests of God, to bring the word. Assemble the people, men, women, and children, and the aliens living in towns, so that they can listen and learn to fear the Lord your God, and follow carefully all the words of his law. Their children who do not know this law must hear it and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess. Children can't read. These young kids can't read, like this young girl over here. She can't read yet, but she can hear. And believe it or not, they do retain things that they hear. And if you read the word aloud, when you're alone, if you read it aloud and you hear yourself speaking it, it actually helps you to retain it also. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word, whether it's your voice or someone else's. When you read the word of God, it will bless you. Amen. Amen. Children learn first by seeing their parents' lives and then hearing their words. That's why children will do as you do before they do as you say. Children cannot read until they are taught to read and study for themselves. They cling to and believe their parents' every word, right or wrong. Unfortunately, children of God and the churches who are young in God believe every word. But it may not be the whole truth. May leave out some like 39 books of the Bible. May not be fully equipped. May not be fully prepared. Many young Christians today have been told wrong about God and his word. When we came to Hungry Hearts, we had to do some unlearning or dispelling of lies and anti-Semitic mindsets. To reverse the five process I gave you is exceedingly hard. It's doubly hard. To reverse the hearing, the recording, the storing up, speaking it, and then living it. To reverse that is hard because you've already had it all embedded in you. But there are many truths out there. God's wisdom is infinite, amen? It's unsearchable, the Bible says. There's always things to know. We'll never know everything. And no matter what age you are, we'll not know everything about God. The secret things belong to God. It says in Deuteronomy 29:29, which I always speak. The secret things belong to God, but the things that God reveals to you belong to you and your family. And treasure them, because they are by the Spirit and God speaking to you, and you know him. You're a sheep that knows that voice. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We must do as it says in 2 Timothy 2:15. Let's go there. 2 Timothy. I think I already read it, but I'll read it again. 2:15, which I read earlier by mistake, but we'll read it again. 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourselves to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. So we can get the word of truth, but if we handle it incorrectly, we can be led astray. Amen. We need to study ourselves, because you can't believe everything you hear unless you back it up with scripture throughout the Bible. Amen. Isaiah 28:13. Now this is talking about the word, and they're not really listening to what the word says. But verse 28:13, so then the word of the Lord is to them will become dew and dew, rule on rule, here, a little here, a little there, so that they may go and fall backward, be injured and snared and captured. It's all about faith in everything. And the word, without the Spirit applied, is just do. And without the word, without the Spirit of God applied to the living word, these words are just black and white, or red and white on paper. It has to be done through the Spirit, receiving God's word. Amos 8, let's go there. We must be careful how we listen. Amos 8. The book of Amos, chapter 8, we're going to read 11 through 13. This is talking about a famine of the word. The days are coming, declares the sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine through the land, not a famine of food or a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. I believe there's a famine of people really hearing. They're not being still and know that there's a God. They're not being still to listen. They're not observing it. They're not entering that rest of the Sabbath. And there is a famine of hearing the word of God. Of course, we have Bibles all over this land, and every home, they use several Bibles. But do they hear? Do they listen? Do they read? And do they heed? Which is the goal. We're going to read through 13. Men will stagger from sea to sea and wander from north to east, searching for the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. There will come a time when there will be a famine of food, like it said in verse 11. That's not now. He's talking about here the famine of hearing the word. There'll be a time when we will not have it available to us, and we will be looking for it. Amen. We may be taken away where we don't have Bibles. And we'll be desperate because we need God's word. Make sure you learn it, keep it in your heart, so that if by chance you were taken somewhere where you didn't have the word, you can, that program, that process, that five process I gave you, it's stored up in your heart. You can get it back. Amen. God will give you the words to speak. It says when you face the enemy, you don't have to worry about what you say, because God will give you the words. You know, computers have a lot of knowledge in them, but until certain keys are punched, those things will not come up on the screen, but they're in there. And it's like us. We hear the word of God and there's information in here, but it's only by the Spirit that God brings it up. Amen? That we can speak it. It has to be, once it's in your heart, don't worry, God will give it back to you. Hallelujah. We cherish God's word because it's God Himself speaking through us and to us. God's Spirit unfolds the words for us to understand. When God would break bread, the word opened up to people and their eyes were open. Amen. How many times have you read in the Word that God broke the bread and their eyes were open? So hearing the Word of God, being standing up here reading God's Word, is when God reveals His living Word. Amen? Then we act on it. It says, wisdom is proved right by her actions. That's found in Matthew 11:19. Do not have to turn there right now, but I do want you to go to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. And we're going to read verse 43. The last verse of Psalm 107. Whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of the Lord. When you start to, if you want wisdom, you receive wisdom, which is to fear God, to know His Word, and you heed it, then you'll His love will be opened up. You will consider it. You will look at what God has done, revealed through His Word and by His actions, when He died on the cross for you. When you heed and do as you, and do, you are then wise. Only then. It's not wise just to know something. You have to show that you know. The love of God will be revealed through your receiving the Spirit of truth that will show the deep things of God is in you. His love is strong to keep us. Go to Romans 8. Romans 8. Romans 8. And we're going to read 37 through 39. In all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So that love that's in Christ comes into us, and nothing can keep us from the love of God. Amen. We are the ones that walk away. We are the ones. God's love will not diminish. Amen. The most excellent way is through love. Turn to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. We need to talk about love. Amen. The most excellent way. Actually, we're going to start at 1 Corinthians 12:31. Then we're going to read through 13, verse 8. But this is 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31. But eagerly desire the greater gifts. And now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak, chapter 13, verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Verse 4, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It is not proud, it is not rude. It is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. And verse 8, love never fails. I'm going to stop there. There's more there, but I want you to know that love never fails. God never fails. He never changes. Amen? Amen. He is perfection, and when He comes, He shows us that He never fails. Amen? Amen. He will keep us. He'll keep us strong. The Word is your sword of the Spirit. Turn to Ephesians 6. You all know this, but we need to be reminded. What is the Word? It's the Lord. It's many things. I told you it could be just a simple saying. It could be the gospel, all these things. But it is God Himself. Ephesians 6. And we're going to read 17. Hallelujah. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Amen. A right now word is a rhema word. Amen. And we all need a word sometimes, a specific word for each of us in certain occasions. And you ask God for that rhema word, that right now word that you need. God will give it. Amen. Hallelujah. We can only yield the sword if we live by it. We cannot try to take advantage of God's word. Go to 2 Corinthians 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 17. Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity, like men sent from God. So we want to bring the word not out of greed, but out of need to heed. Amen. God supplies all our needs according to His riches and glory, so we don't need to worry. God will supply. So we don't peddle the word of God for profit. Amen. Unfortunately, there are some that do. Let's read chapter 4. We're going to read all of it. This 2 Corinthians 4 is entitled Treasures in Jars of Clay. That's us. We are God's treasure. We are jars of clay. Amen? And He is the potter, is He not? Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use dissension, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made this light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Hallelujah. God keeps us. There's times that we have it kind of rough, but we never have it as rough as He did. Amen. Lord willing, if it came to that, we should be willing to, because if we're willing to give our bodies as a living sacrifice, which is our reasonable service, we should be willing, like Christ, to die for the kingdom of God. Amen. Verse 10 of chapter 4. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that His life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Again, that word is at work in you, like I read in the scripture, amen, earlier. It is written, "I believe, therefore I have spoken." With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. It is by his grace that he keeps us. Amen. And he will raise us up as he was raised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 16. Therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. You know, as this body gets older, it is wasting away. All of you, from the day you are born until the day you die, your body slowly is dying. But it's okay if you have received Christ. Amen. You will live. We're being renewed day by day with that rhema word each day. Amen. Verse 17, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporal or temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Amen. We have to believe for the unseen, because if you believe for what you see, you know, it's not faith. It's there. You can achieve it. You can receive it. You have to believe God's unseen, eternal things. Amen. He is coming soon. You know, for such a time as this, we have been sent to seed God's word. We need to have our, you know, have the hardness of our heart plowed so we can receive the seed of God. God's word, you need it. You need to read it, and you need to heed it, to do what it says. Amen. I'm done. Hallelujah.